So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know the same Spirit that was here about 2,000 years ago manifest in flesh was once against us, where God manifested Himself through human flesh again. And in human flesh, and we appreciate that, knowing that the Scripture verifies that truth, giving us substance to our stand. We therefore thank You, Lord, that our faith is not baseless and groundless and based upon anything but Your own Word, Lord, and You Yourself standing behind Your Word. We ought to be very grateful tonight, and we pray we are. And if we're not grateful enough and sincere enough, we pray, Lord, that You are that One who can and will do, will bring us into that state, Father, because of Your grace and love and mercy toward us. So help us receive Your Word, the engrafted Word, the correcting Word, the living Word, that great Word which we have, the actual conduit of the Spirit of God Himself, that might be in our hearts and our souls, particularly to such an extent that every channel, not only incoming but outgoing, may show that God Himself, You, Lord, Jehovah, have the care of us and the control of us. So bless tonight, Lord, to this end, we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we know that every single message we study, we study them on the grounds of having studied many more, and realize that every single message is interconnected and interwoven. And therefore, you have to look at everything Brother Branham says in the light of the complete delineation and revelation. That includes his ministry, which, of course, is what was our particular attention, drew our particular attention in order to get us to that particular word. Now, last Sunday, we came to where Brother Branham has introduced the restoration of the bride tree of Israel, the wife of Jehovah. This restorer was God Himself, manifest in human flesh, even the flesh of the only begotten Son of God. See, he talks about Jesus as being that one. But the Messiah deliverer was rejected by the creedal church. They could not and consequently did not recognize him, even though he presented a perfect manifestation whereby he surely should have been known to them. And that's the reason for the judgment. The Samaritan woman recognized the scripture manifestation, but she was seed, whereas the church was totally lost to the serpent seed crowd. And when the corrupt church saw the the Messiah, they said, "This is not the Son of David that was to come. This is another seed." So we're going to go back and quickly read from page 61 of a paragraph 4 to where we were on Sunday. And Brother Branham says, concerning what I just read to you as a preamble, the Jews couldn't understand it. They said, "He's a fortune teller. He is Beelzebub." You'll find that in Matthew 12. Jesus said, "I forgive you, but when the Holy Spirit is come and does the same things and you speak against that, it'll never be forgiven you." Now, of course, that stood through the ages we know. You cannot do that. But Brother Branham was particularly referring to the end time ministry of which he was the one that God had chosen to bring that complete manifestation. "Now, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But that fruit tree was bearing fruit." Now watch, what kind of a church did he set up? Now you Catholics that want to say that Jesus set up a church, what kind of church did he set up? Did he ever mention a denomination or creed? He was always against it. He called them whited walls, you dead men's bones. He called them everything that he could call them. And that's right, he was against it. That was the fruit of God. Now, you can make two and two, four if you want to, all right. Now, of course, what you find, many people were very aggravated at Brother Branham because he never came with this great so-called thing called love, that you just don't rebuke anybody, you don't tell anybody, just sweet, 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 and, you know, if something is there, there'll be one. That's a lot of hogwash. Now, Jesus whipped those people out of the temple, and I'm sure you know enough about you know how the cord that they bind sheaves with is usually made out of a very, very brittle and very mean type of hemp. And if it cuts across you, it leaves little slivers in your skin, cuts you. It's one of the worst types of cut you can talk about, something like getting a lot of little paper cuts, and you know how deadly they are. Well, Jesus just made thongs, and he just wrapped it around and whipped him. And, of course, when that was pulled tight, it just would maybe take some, not just maybe, but it'd take some skin off and make him think for a while. Well, you can tell how rough he was. He emptied the church. And so what they're doing here, Brother Branham, is coming back against all this misinformation concerning him, all the lies, all the judging they have against him. Now, of course, this is going to make people even angrier still, if they ever catch on to it. Because they're going to say, no, 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 there's no way that Jesus really did that. Well, he did it. He really did it. And the fact of the matter is, when the thief threw into his teeth, he said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down and take us with you? That's perfectly the truth. He could have done it. As far as the ability to do. But there again, you see, most people don't understand the ability to do is not what counts. It's the wisdom of what should do it. And the purpose contained therein, looking way down that road. That's what Brother Branham said. Sure, he said, I could take every disease off you. Maybe God doesn't want them off you. He could have shut every mouth, but maybe God didn't want him to. So he's letting him know. He said, you can put this together. You'll come out understanding I'm vindicating myself, but it's still the truth. That was the fruit of God. That tree was the fruit of God, and what he did manifested that he was that tree, that fruit of God, and part of it was very rough on those birds. He called them generation of vipers and serpent seed. You're of your father the devil. He said, we're of Abraham. He said, like fun you are, if you're of your father the devil. Well, we know Moses. Like fun you know Moses, you'd recognize me. Hey, you know, when a man gives testimony himself, he better have something to back him up. I believe today, under the microscope, there should have been a greater recognition today of God manifest in human flesh than there was back there, because they have much more to work with in the realm of the scientific and all these other realms. I won't bother to name them. All right. He defends himself against how he talked and what he did. He said Jesus was against the thing, the organization, against their theories. He called them hypocrites, snakes in the grass, and said they were devils. He said, you are of your father the devil and do his works. Which one of your fathers didn't persecute the prophets I sent before me, see? And then build their tombs, you build their tombs, and he said, you're the ones that put them in there. All right, you might notice something here that he said, you are of your father the devil, and his works will do. You'll do his works. Then he said, now, watch what he's saying. You're going to do the works of your father the devil, just like your fathers did. And what did your fathers do? They persecuted the prophets. So the work of the devil is to always come against the word giver. He won't come against so much the fellow that's just a seer. And maybe a little bit like Samuel, in the sense that he had visions and could see things. There might be quite a number would go along with that. In fact, many would, if not the majority. But when it comes to the word prophet, and that's a hyphenated word, capital W, capital P, the devil is going to attack him every single time. Then notice what happens. When it is too late, recognition comes. Now, why is it that the devil attacked the prophets? Because Brother Branham said you can neither worship nor serve God outside of the prophets. Now, never forget that. As you read 1 John, the 3rd chapter, again, 4-8. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Well, you better know what law it is. You better be vindicated the law. Anybody can make up a law if he thinks you're a jackass enough to believe it. Sure. You can get people running in circles and cutting their stupid heads off. We're talking of something that's vindicated, not some little mystical thing. We're talking about reality. See? And you know he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now you know jolly well that doesn't have a thing to do with where he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's not talking about that at all. That has to do with your active life out here. This has your passive life. This is where the inner man is believing, not what the outer man is manifesting. Merciful heaven, if everybody... Well, the fact of the matter is people do manifest the inner man. Their soul. A lot of trouble down there until the whole Word of God takes over. And the man's soul is in complete obedience to that Word coming forth in those human channels through his senses. Now he said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. It's true. It's no unbelief. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, who is an unbelief. Whosoever, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is the devil. For the devil sins the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might bring to nothing the works of the devil. And he tells you right here that the Son of God was manifested in order so that the people would no longer fall into the trap of the devil, which was to come against the prophets or the word giver of God. See? Now there's the whole thing that we're standing on. And of course, I'm hated for what I preach. For me to preach this and not preach Pentecostal hogwash and Baptist doctrine and all this other crud of looking forward and this guy's coming and that guy's coming and you got to have this kid and that. I'm hated like you can't believe it. I can get the books. I throw them in the garbage. I bring them and let you read them. They hate me just like they hate a Brother Branham because I take it word by word. And you know that I'm not lying. You can read the same scripture and you got it right. Not go behind my back like that hypocrite did who came here. Stand beside me on the platform. I challenge you tonight. The whole bunch of you, stand right here and get your Bibles. And get the sermon. You show me where I'm one word off what I'm teaching. You take it any other way, you fall into the trap of denominational organization, and William Branham just becomes a prophet without the authority of God backing him in this hour of judgment. I challenge you to prove me wrong on those statements. They're all on the tape. Because I can take everything I tell you tonight and turn it right around and show you just where the trap is going. He said, you are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. Which of your fathers didn't persecute the prophets? See? He said, you'll do those works. If you want to know if you're the right seed or not, you are going to be judged by the stand you take against the word that the living God manifested through a prophet, because he is the living word of God manifested. Now you show me where I'm off. Go ahead. Here's the Bible. Here's the stuff. You can't do it. You know this has to do within your heart what you believe, if that seed is there or not, no matter how you act, because you can have that seed there and be a corrupt David who saw another woman, he wanted it, and took another man's wife and slept with her, had a baby by her, had the man killed. And there's a man after God's own heart. Are you still a bunch of legals tonight looking down your little snot noses that you're going to produce something? Go ahead and produce it. Be a sevenfold child of hell than you ever were before you came out of your cruddy organizations. Can you look at what happened up there and know that that's vindicated in the scientific picture? The matter was a science authenticated as the only scientific evidence of a supernatural being, and maybe you'll sit there, the tapes go up, and say, well, I just wonder. Boy, you head of the FBI documents and photography and that type of proof? Can you even take a decent picture? If you might open your mouth and caterwaul and think you've got something on the ball, forget it. I'm not mad at anybody, don't worry. I'm just studying my notes. Look at Ephesians. In the fifth chapter, starting at verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It tells you why God sends his wrath. not because of what you did, but because of what you believed. Hold your finger there. Let's see if Paul ever changed his tune. Romans, the first chapter, for the wrath of God's revealed in heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness. And them will hold back the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. The turning down of a revelation. Coming against a prophet. Well, let's keep reading. Let no man deceive you because with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Not disobedient children, the children of disobedience. What was a child of disobedience? Thou shalt not eat of that tree. And she did. She got into a sexual relationship with that serpent. I don't care what the world believes or what theologians believe. Who cares two bits what those jackasses believe? Your pseudo-intellectuals, those serpent-seething children of hell. What do I care about them? I don't care about those birds. I'm not a part of them. Cain was a child of disobedience. It's exactly the truth. Be ye not partakers with them. What's a partakers with them? They don't believe the truth. They believe the lie. And they come against the prophet. Now watch, for you were sometimes darkness. They were sometimes darkness. Now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were sometimes. By your manner of living, even you showed that you needed something that you have that you were entitled to, you hadn't got, but you're going to get. And then he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now he says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now let's flip back to the book of Galatians and see what that fruit is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Well, it says every one of these of the Spirit, all of those fruits, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. In other words, it's got to spring from the wellspring, which is from God in the first place. And you can't have any unrighteousness within it. And it's got to be truth. You show me anybody but the bride that's going to show true love, and boy, you better start working right now, because you ain't going to show me. Because when it comes to this, I'm as blind as a bat. I wouldn't even bother looking at your evidence. I wouldn't even take time to throw up on it, even though I'd be nauseated by it. I've proved every point I've ever preached in full from Brother Branham's sermons. And I can tell you right now, you better watch your scripture and compare them and see they line up. And don't try to fool yourself with some hogwash love. I'm not against love. I'm not against gentle kindness, even in a lousy sinner that's going to go to hell. That seduced souls and made them a seven times more child of hell than they are. I'm not against it. Look under the cover. Why is he doing? What is it all about? Is it some mind over matter? Or is it because it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? The late Dr. Norman Vincent Peale told the truth. He told the truth. This congregation needs in every congregation in the world. Do you need some kind of a help? Are you in a hot spot? Do you have trouble? Do you need a job? Do you need this? Do you need that? Look around and start helping somebody. Sow some seed. Watch what comes back on you. You know why people can't pray worth a hoop anymore? They're not sowing any seeds. Just, oh, God, give me. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God. That's what James says. Get up and do something. Proving what is that acceptable. What is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship, no watch, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Take your stand with the Word. That's what Brother Brandon is saying here. Why do you think he's saying any other reason? See? The devil's work is to persecute. They always will persecute the children of God. Why? Because of the Word. Oh, brother, he didn't pull any punches with them. That's right. That was the fruit of God. It was the fruit of God not to pull punches. What's he saying then? The fruit of God doesn't tell lies. Does it stand up and say, well, I guess you could be right and I could be wrong? Brother Branham said that on the odd occasion because he wanted to duck an argument. He threw the guy a curve. The guy took that one. He was, I don't know. I'm going to tell you one thing. The guy took that challenge. Or you could be right in the face of Brother Branham's vindication. Brother Branham said it because Brother Branham agreed to the guy's heart. You better believe that he wasn't even much of a child of the devil if he's that stupid. I think the devil would like to kick him in the teeth when he got him where he could get him. Surely the devil could not, when he sees that the sum of wisdom, surely the devil could not commend such a slouch as that. You know. Well, that was the fruit of God. What was it? Stay with the Word of God. See, make the Word of God manifest. Now, that's that fruit tree doing that. He said, otherwise, what did the Scripture say I, the Messiah, would do when I came? Now, if I don't bear that fruit of that Word, then I'm not Messiah. But if I bear the fruit of that word, what the Messiah was supposed to do, then I am he. Now, of course, that's Matthew 12. We're talking about this end time because Brother Branham is talking about himself. Now, notice, he said the work the Messiah was supposed to do. Now, I want to make sure I got that right. Yeah, but if I bear the fruit of that word that the Messiah was supposed to do, then I am he. Now, but as serpent seed, they won't know the doctrine, and therefore misapply word and use it for their own position. Now, he's talking to people, like I'm telling you here. He looked them in the eye. They knew the Scripture. There's no doubt some of them could quote perhaps the first five books of the Bible. Perhaps some could quote the Psalms, the whole book of Isaiah. They were well-learned, and they were absolutely knowledgeable concerning the Scripture. But when the Scripture became fulfilled before them, which it was supposed to be fulfilled in a man because Messiah was supposed to be a man, a great leader like unto David from the root of David, of the son of Jesse, they, a serpent seed, could not know the doctrine. But they had the word and would misapply it, misdivide it, and use it for their own position. Now, just a minute. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I want you to visualize with me. I'm talking to man. We're riding in a car. And as I am talking, in order to explain a question, he butts in. And I said, shut up. I shook him right to the core. I said, you're not even listening. The minute I start answering your question, another question pops in your mind. Shut up and listen. Well, I was using his tactics as a bulldozer, and I would to God I never had. Because I said, look, bud, there's one thing you know. When it comes to manifestation and vindication, you ain't a patch on me. You never had it and never will, and I don't have any anymore. And if I did, I wouldn't be one drop in the ocean alongside of Brother Branham, so forget it. And William Branham is the vindicated man, so shut up and listen. If he'd have listened, he'd have been all right, but he'd listen to somebody else. And that guy wouldn't wait until God would give him the answer. See, I waited 25 years for one answer. 28 years, another answer. I've got a sort of patience that Brother Branham talks about. Not the patience you think I ought to have. I've got the patience I'm supposed to have. I can wait for God to give an answer. I don't have to run hither, thither, and yawn. I made one mistake many years ago. I never made that mistake again. Now, I don't believe in running ahead by the grace of God. Now, Brother Branham says amen to the truth of the word. Now, which of you can condemn me of sin? He said, there you are. Which one of your organizations, which one does this same thing? Now, what's the challenge? There you are. The Messiah was supposed to do this. And Messiah is supposed to be a prophet. Now, let's see some of you all. He said, with all your highfalutin ideas, let's see you do it. Now, they were silent. And Brother Brown is talking about the same silence those preachers in Chicago gave him when he said, bring your Bible up and stand beside me. They know there's one God. Yeah. But they make a big mistake because God The Son is not God the Son. He's the Son of God. That makes two of the same substance, and one is the Son. Brother Branham says so. It's right on tape. Now you got two. Brother Branham said, I'm not oneness, I'm not Trinity. I stand in between. So now you got God. Call him the Father now because he's the Father. He's got a Son. And God is the Holy Spirit. There aren't three of them. But now the oneness can't see that. So now the oneness say I'm preaching two gods and the Trinity, they don't know what I'm preaching. They might laugh a little bit and think, well, there you are. He settled for something in between. I didn't say it. I settled for the prophet's words. Isn't it strange how Lee Bale's the only guy that can, almost one of the few guys that can read what the prophet said? That's strange now. I thought everybody had as much education more than I've got. I can read, and I'm reading it. I don't have a great deal of trouble with it. He tells you right here, William Branham is talking about the end time restoration, of which he is a part because Elijah is the final one to restore, to bring it into completion, opening the seven seals thereof, revealing the seven thunders, bringing perfection to a bride, which is full consummation. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, absolutely he is speaking of himself because he's identified himself as Elijah. Now, don't make any mistake there. Brother Branham said he was. Up in New York. What is that, November, December 1964? You can find it right on tape. It's right there before you. Why, just pick up your books and read it and get your tape. Now, he says to the same thing now concerning this very period. He said, which of your organizations or anybody else can produce what I am producing? Even with all your doctrine, your highfalutin ideas. He said, isn't Messiah supposed to be a prophet? And isn't Elijah supposed to come and be a prophet? What are you looking for? So the guy that runs the zoo orders what? A tiger. So they send him a tiger. Now, do you think he's going to say, well, I don't know if that's a tiger. I wonder if that could be a lion. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, shut up. Lions and tigers don't look alike. The order was sent in, give me a tiger. The man got his tiger. The order sent in, bring me a prophet. Well, did we get a pope? Or some high-heeled, short-haired Pentecostal flusy preacher. But Amy started the whole thing with. No, we got a prophet. Just what the Bible says. And Brother Brand is saying the same thing. What is it? Is a Messiah supposed to be a prophet? Is Elijah supposed to be a prophet? See? God always was his own prophet, so he's right there being the one that's doing it. Because just like Jesus said, I don't have a word, I don't have a thing to say or a thing to do. It's God who says it, and it's God who does it. He simply uses me as a channel. So Brother Branham said, let's see you do it. So they're all very, very silent. What was it? He bore the fruit of God. Now let's look at that word bear. A woman bore a child. The tree bore fruit. It's the same word, the woman carried a child. The tree carried the fruit. So we're looking at the thought here in my books. Get it down to carrying. Which means you are not initiating, nor are you producing of yourself, but something is there that's not even yours. Now, you say, well, just a minute, that life that's in the tree does bear fruit, it brings it forth. That's true, I'm not arguing the point. I'm just bringing you a point here, thou shalt not bear the name of thy Lord thy God in vain, which means to carry. Or take the Lord, that name of the Lord thy God in vain, carry it and bear it with you. So we're looking at here, he bore the fruit of God, which is in truth what I am talking about. I don't have the words, I don't have the power, but notice me doing it. So I am bearing it, I am carrying it. Actually, the vine and the branches are carriers. Because without that initial life, grape life, whatever life it is, there would not be a vine, there would not be a branch, there would not be any kind of a fruit. Those things are merely symptomatic of what really lie there. That's why all nature and all this is simply symptomatic. And people ought to recognize what's symptomatic and go to the great Creator and stand there in awe and worship and wonder. It's not difficult if we get the right inspiration. He bore the fruit of God. He carried it. The Holy Spirit was in him. So he bore it. He carried God's fruit. What was he? Now listen close. I'll hurry quick as I can. I won't delay you for Easter dinner. Look, he said, your Easter dinner should be the resurrection. So, all right. We're to look in the right direction now to see things and see it with the eyes of the Word, to see the truth, and don't vary from it. Just know we stand secure in a reality, in such a, what could seem to be such a minor reality. All Israel, just about all Israel, failed in it. But watch, he was God's perfect prophet tree. Well, I'm submitting to call him a fruit tree. Yeah, bearing the fruit of God, bearing something that wasn't his. So now he's God's perfect prophet tree. Very true. As God's perfect prophet tree, he could take him over here to Matthew 7, which Brother Branham did time after time for us in this end time, which is for the end time. Beware of false prophets, verse 15, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Now, these same guys can put on an act of love. It'll make you look like you don't even know the first thing about having one sentiment, one ounce of appreciation, one ounce of a desire to help anybody, sympathy, compassion, or anything else. They can make you look sick. And they've only got one thing in mind, that's to destroy you. If you want to get right down, that's what you've got to teach your kids all about the sex act, because that's the same rotten, filthy thing. What we're talking about right here, what I'm talking about. There's only one purpose in it. That's for self-gratification. It isn't a matter of love for the other person, anything at all. Yeah, kids don't want to learn it. Nobody. They're going to spend millions and billions of more dollars, and there's going to be more and more corruption. They're not going to cure crime any longer because they took the pins away. They took all the underpinning. The Bible distinctly said, don't you dare remove those old landmarks. When America removed her landmarks, she was finished. This nation is dead. It died in 1956. It's been dead for what, 37 solid years, almost 38. 2 years to go, we ought to have a rapture, shouldn't we? You shall know them by their fruits, not just a cotton pick in a minute. Their fruits are love and beauty and rejoicing and marveling and kindness and sweetness and seduction. That can't be that kind of fruit, can it? Must be another kind of fruit. We're not talking now about those nine fruits of the book of Galatians, so-called. Okay, everybody talks about those fruits. Oh, my God, meek and gentle and kind and patient. Oh, yeah. I admit it. I got no problem there. But I'll tell you one thing. If I was in Germany at the time of the Second World War, I would not have enjoyed Hitler's ersatz coffee. I still don't enjoy it. Why would I settle for ersatz meekness and ersatz kindness, ersatz love, ersatz joy, ersatz goodness? Huh? Something come out of a barren soul that wants to deceive? Void of the Spirit of Almighty God? Is that what I'm going to settle my destiny on? You know them by their fruits. Now he said, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. The good tree was in the Garden of Eden. The evil tree was in the Garden of Eden. Notice a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Thank God. There's no black-white bird. There's no drunk, sober man. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast to fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know. What's he talking about? False prophets, men with the wrong word. A perverted word. Why, Brother Branham said that old priest would show 1,000 times more love in Jesus Christ and make him look like a rotten hypocrite, just about. Why, that renegade Jesus, who wants to fool with him? Ho, ho, ho. Without the camp, buddy, without the camp. Let's go there. I don't care what kind of renegade he is. I think I got the same kind of a spirit. But watch, he was God's perfect prophet tree, the example tree, the bridegroom tree. Amen, glory. I'm going to say something directly. If he's the bridegroom tree, do you believe it? From the Garden of Eden, then the bridegroom tree without the female, or the bride tree, right, doesn't bear fruit. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the end time restoration. He's Elijah. So he's got to have a bride tree. Now, this doesn't mean I'm talking to William Branham as Almighty God or something. I'm just talking about the fact he's drawing a parallel here that you're to watch so you know where he's going. Because he's got to do something about this end time ministry. He just can't tell you these things and then walk off the platform. You say, what does a man mean? Where is he going? See? Now, he's telling you flat here, and this flatness he's talking about is setting the stage for William Branham to publicly declare, and God manifests through him, that God is in this man, as he's in the prophets, that God has manifested himself in human flesh again, positively, that the prophet's living word of God manifested, and he ends up by telling you, if the hand does it, the body does it. In other words, it's to be manifested as a member of the true bride that all the rest of the bride may come to. That's why the ensign raised up was a prophet with the living word of the living God. So, all right, he's saying here now, then the bridegroom tree without the female or the bride tree doesn't bear fruit. So he's got to have a bride tree. She's got to, now watch, she's got to be born of the same material, the same word, made flesh from the tree. That's how Adam was with Eve. You cannot change it. Adam is the type. So he's got to have a bride tree, bride word tree, made flesh. Now, didn't he tell us that Jesus came the same way we did, except he didn't bypass that certain form? And didn't he come by a womb? Born of Mary? So, all right, he said, I hope you get it. See what I say? You've got to put these sermons together. So that your mind's not running at 50, 100 different directions. 50, 100 is 5,000. The same life in this female tree, which is from the bridegroom, as it's in the bride. See, in other words, bride and female have no different light. The works that I do shall you do also. Is that right? He was the bridegroom, remember. All right. According to Brother Branham, and according to the Word of God, this has to appear somewhere in the bride according to John 14 and 12. And you can tell positively if it is that same life that was 2,000 years ago or not. Because it will have to do the very same thing. Now, Brother Branham will bring out later on, I don't think I read it already, he's down a little further, he will tell you, if these are the laws and the conditions laid down, when you see them, you ought to recognize them and stop blubbering. You know, it's very funny when a guy comes along and you and we lip at each other, but he pulls a gun. The guy with the lip and no gun, he buttons it pretty quick, but not with God. It's very strange. Brother Branham is going to talk about his magnum. I hope we get to it. When God pulls his magnum, the serpent seed blubber all the more. Fight all the more, fuss all the more, deny all the more, lie all the more, blaspheme all the more, and care less all the more. But wait till judgment day. That is to say, the finalization of judgment day. We've got something to say about that tonight, too. Now, watch now. Brother Branham says this. There's life in the male, that same life manifested has got to come through the female, which is the bride. Now make no mistake about it, it's got to come there. And when he says that, notice what happens. Someone in the congregation says, no way. Now watch, you say that isn't scriptural. Oh, it is, I caught that, see. You couldn't try hide if you tried. We're fixing to have a healing meeting in a minute. I caught that. He was. You want proof of it? Now watch. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. You bear the fruit. See? And the male tree and the female tree produces the pollen one to the other that brings the fruit. And the branch and the vine does the same thing. See, that's exactly right. Now he's telling you, you've got to have it matched up according to that life, and that fruit will be there, which is that manifestation which was there 2,000 years ago. But that's when people don't understand Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, they can't believe it. Because they've got their own idea. They already say there's no such thing as a prophet coming. Why, we don't need any of these things anymore. We've already got it. Hey, everybody knows about it. That's a lie, everybody doesn't know about God. You know what? There's a billion Christians and there's a billion Muslims. So a billion against a billion makes a tie. Oh, God. Do you understand the sick hour in which we live? The putrefaction that lies within the church that calls herself the bride of Christ? I can vomit about it. No wonder God vomits. I don't blame him. I'm happy he can get out of his system. I'm stuck with it. So he said, now... This first tree was a prophet tree, a perfect tree. The God of the prophets. He was a major tree. He was God's perfect prophet tree. See, why? He was the Word. Now, the others were minor prophets. Moses, everybody else, William Branham, Paul, Isaiah. The Word came to the prophets. But he was the Word himself in the form of a prophet. Amen. Now we're getting somewhere. Now, you see what you're looking at. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus the Word, you've got three gods. So God himself took on a human form, which was, he came into, at the River Jordan, that one, his only begotten son, who took on the form, came by the woman's womb, without male intervention, and God indwelt him. You know, it just gives you a little idea. God had to do that to redeem the world, which he did. And Adam and Eve at that time had not had any sexual knowledge whatsoever to procreate and bring forth children. What a tremendous hour they lived in when God was everything to them. My, what a tremendous, tremendous time that was. God could manifest in their flesh. Come down, control all the animals, tree move over here, bush move over there. Didn't like a certain mountain, no problem, just moving. Just tell it to move. Huh? What do you think of the earthquakes in California? Who's telling them to move now, eh? Wouldn't someone like to have that kind of power? America gave it up in 1956. I was out in Kansas and Brother Branham stood there and stopped the tornado. Oh yeah, I was there. It disappeared. Others were there when he turned that hurricane back. They would have swept out Beaumont. Oh yeah. Oh, I can't believe that. You don't have to believe anything. Hey, who asked you to? Well, you know, it's ordained to believe. Well, thank God I'm not in that ordination. Well, thank God I am. Okay. You know, I tell you, everybody doesn't like sauerkraut and rice and tomatoes and spare ribs. I love it. One fellow called it gook. It's okay by me. It was a good meal to me. It's the way I'm with the gospel. Now, listen real close and don't miss this now. It was so good, I just wrote it down here. Now, he was God's prophet tree. Why? He preached all the perfect word of God, for he was the word of God made manifest. He was the perfect tree that preached the perfect prophet word that brought forth the perfect prophet fruit by the perfect word of God. Now, that's a lot of almost alliteration, but it's very, very good. The fact of the matter is, what you're looking at is what God wanted in that hour of completion to bring up everything that was not right from the past and take care of everything that would not be right from that future until the end of time, blending into eternity. Take care of all of that, sew it up at the end, and take it right down to the holy city. In other words, in him lay everything that was vital to God, that God wanted, brought into manifestation. And you'll notice even at the very end in the book of First Corinthians speaking, where God puts everything under his feet and the kingdom is turned back to him. You'll see God is doing it all the way down the line. He's got to do, he did it in Luther, though Luther was not a real prophet. He did it in Wesley. He did it in many men. He did it through the 1,000 years of the Catholic Church darkness. There were men in there that were men of God. And you can't deny it. St. Francis of Assisi and some of those others. I forget all their names. But there's no doubt that there were people there that were truly men and women of God according to the light, the spirit, the little light they had. See, remember that tree was being eaten up. What life was there, they utilized it. Oh, brother, talk about a tree, a tree. He was that tree, that life tree, that the angel kept Eve and Adam away from with guarding cherubim, away from that tree. Now listen, now the same cherubim are trying to run them into it because there's been made a way for them to get back and get to the tree of life. See, now they're pulling back. All human beings, and oh my, just shakes his head. What can you do with human beings? So, all right, at the end time here, we see a complete manifestation of the same ministry. Of which Jesus said, you'll desire to see one of the days the Son of Man will not see it until just prior to the taking away of God's elect bride in the rapture. He said, you're not going to see it. But you will see it then. Now, William Branham completely identifies the two. Now, listen, there again, the theologians say, no, no, no. How do they know it's no, no, no? Just because they read a few books? A little bit of history? They think they're smart? Huh. They make me sick. They put their brains in gear before they put their mouths in gear, it'd be all right. But let's face it, their brains don't have anything other than talk about what they do talk about. If they had something there, they'd manifest it. And what they do have there, they have manifested. Brother Branham said, Jesus preached all the word. He didn't cut here or there. When Satan came to him, that great theologian said, it's written. Jesus said, it's also written. Satan came back and said, it's further written. He said, it's even further, more further written again. So, all right, Brother Branham at the end time is telling us the parallel, which we just read. God's perfect prophet tree. God himself manifesting. The person himself simply bearing, which was not a part of him, but was of God. And he stood there. As Brother Branham said, I didn't know better. I wanted to be a trapper, but it's his grace that I am what I am. He was a perfect prophet tree, preached the perfect prophet word that brought forth the perfect prophet fruit by the perfect word of God. See, in other words, Jesus Christ absolutely stood there and proved it through vindication, manifestation, and William Branham did the same thing. And the serpent seed crowd, which dominates the church, said, we don't want a thing to do with it. You see? Only God can correctly divide his word. Nobody else can. All right, perfect prophet tree preaching perfect prophet word with perfect prophet signs, perfect prophet results, perfect fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's nine. Right in this hour it happened. And for a mockery, I'm going to go this pretty fast now. For a mockery, they hanged him on, he was the word, you know, hanged him on the word tree. The word tree hung on a man-made Roman tree. Brother, I hope that got home. He being God's perfect spiritual tree, they hung him on a man-made Roman tree. Amen. It's exactly true. This comes from the fourth church age. I think it's Thyatira, where they had the Jezebel religion. They looked to the church for its synods, its conferences, its bishops, and so on, to bring forth what was supposed to be the truth. And they brought something forth to aggrandize themselves and hold the people under horrible control. So today with the word, the whole truth of this hour, even as Jesus gave it in Luke. Now notice the fourth chapter of Luke. He's there in the synagogue and he's preaching. And he read in the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Send me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering the blind, sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he sat down having closed the book. In other words, he perfectly divided the word. He did not take it to Isaiah chapter 55, I guess it is. No. 61. The first couple of verses. In the two verse sets who have proclaimed the accepted year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. He stopped before the day of the vengeance because, listen, he was supposed to do, but he didn't do it then. When's he going to do it? He's got to do it sometime. How's he going to do it? Well, it says he's got to do it, then let him do it. How'd you do it the first time, being a prophet? What's going to happen the second time? There's got to be a prophet. Why? Because a prophet wrote that. Now you see what Brother Branham says here. This perfect prophet treat for this hour, preaching the perfect prophet's word with the perfect prophet signs, perfect prophet results, perfect fruits of the Spirit. In other words, this man really winds everything up. And when it's wound up, it goes straight to New Jerusalem. Okay? They hung him on a Roman tree. Hebrews 6, they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, but in open shame. Now, how do they hang him on a Roman tree? Revelation chapter 13. The whore and the whore church sitting upon the seven hills. You can't buy and sell without the Pope. The hierarchy and all the church together. He says, same now. Next paragraph. They're trying to take God's perfect tree, the Word, and mix it and hang it up yonder on some kind of a creed. Oh, you don't think they're doing that? Why, this smart guy in England, they wrote a book about me. He makes fun of the fact that I take Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. He doesn't know the first thing about twins. He doesn't know the first thing about two bands, the left hand and right hand of God. He doesn't know that Brother Branham said, when one is there, there's got to be another. There's not twins. Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's life in a putty knife factory, isn't it? Oh, no, it's never that dull around here. Just, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham said, life, death and life won't mix. Jesus never did attend a funeral service. He'd raise the dead. Why? Death and life cannot stay together. They're contrary one to the other. He didn't preach any funerals. He just raised them up. Amen. Yes. Why? Life and death. He didn't have to preach any funeral sermons. They're already preached. They need an infusion of life. So he just preached a resurrection message, and that's all Jesus has gotten. Today, nobody has a resurrection message outside of this message. That's the truth. Because nobody believes in Matthew 12 and Matthew 4. They don't believe there's a repeat. Oh, no, we're satisfied. We got God. Yeah, I don't think I made that sarcastic enough. Could someone answer it? I welcome it. They hang him upon a tree. Now look, they hanged him on a tree. Is that right? Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Is that right? The Bible said, cursed is he that hangs on any man-made tree. That, of course, is Galatians 3. But today they crucify to themselves the Son of God. They don't crucify him. They haven't got a chance. So if today you're trying to hang on some kind of a man-made tree, that's to hang yourself on or grab and hold on. Turn loose of it. And don't let it hang you there either, because that's the place for the dead. Some man-made Lutheran, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal organization. That's right. Some man-made tree. Don't hang there. Now, vindication proves that William Branham has the only place that we can possibly hang ourselves and be right. He said, don't hang there and don't let it hang you there either. They'll hang you there if they can till all the life's gone out of you, till you recognize their doctrine. Now, we want to notice carefully here, every denomination, organizational seed has one premise to justify their organization. And that's to expedite the work of God, such as give us the tools, we'll do the job. 1,000,054. Why, if you want a bunch of dead bunch of sinners, you can get any number. All I got to do is let down the bars here and say, everybody come in and preach anything at all. We all love each other. We all believe the prophet. Is that a fact? The devils also believe and tremble, so don't give me that hogwash. The church wants to expedite the salvation of souls, to expedite God's work, to do everything they think God wants them to do. So they organize. But they have to put their organization somewhere into a codified form. So they begin to divide the word. And when they do, they say, we have the light. And they further exclude anybody who doesn't agree with them because they don't have the light. And when you shut the light off, no more can come except in this hour. The light shuts itself off by leaving here with the bride. Remember that corny joke that says, the last guy, please turn out the lights? You're right, it's not a corny joke anymore. When the Holy Spirit leaves, taking the bride with him, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to it, the light goes out, out, out. And as Billy Graham said so truthfully, they'll be still having altar calls and saving souls. I don't know if anything's happening, I doubt very much, because they're all in. They'll hang you there till you recognize it. Hey. Only Paul and William Branham in 2,000 years are the ones who could bring the light. And Brother Branham said, there is a man here who can turn on the light. And you better believe he was talking about William Branham through the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, you'll hang there until you recognize their doctrine. In chapter 13, you're going to do it. That's a book of a revelation. Now listen. Let's understand what he says. They'll hang you there if they can till all the life has gone out of you, till you recognize their doctrine. And their doctrine is the Trinity. Every book written against Brother Branham comes out so boldly, and they are so alarmed because of their great understanding and knowledge and purity in the Word. Brother Branham didn't believe in the Trinity. Why should he? It's just not the idea God said Trinity is for. Bunch of Satan worshipers in my books. But that's where they hung this perfect tree. God's perfect tree hung on a man-made Roman tree. It was a curse to hang on a man-made tree. What is it? To rid him out of their sight after he bore the fruits. In other words, when the proof was there, the only thing now is to get rid of him. Put him out of your minds. Kill him. After Mary Magdalene, said by history, ran before them and said, what has he done? What evil did he do? She stopped the procession. What evil did he do? Has he done anything but preach the gospel to the poor? Has he done anything but heal the sick, raise the dead, and the very signs of the living God are in him? How could you condemn him? They slapped her in the mouth and said, would you listen to this ill-famed woman instead of your priest or your bishop? There you are, same thing today. Yeah. Notice, they didn't give her any answer, they just slapped her down. When Jesus stood there, when Paul stood there, William Branham stood there, they didn't give any answers. Now, you tell me there's any truth in those guys in spite of their love and their anxiety to serve God and bring in souls and this and that. Come on, tell me. Hey, you, there's something wrong with you if you don't know what I'm talking about tonight. Honest to God, there's something wrong with you. As far as I'm concerned, there is. When they are so covered by a spirit of deceit and harbor the same spirit, so they're one with it. Remember that sermon I preached, they know better? You bet your sweet life they know better. Well, how can God judge? How can God judge me if I don't know better? Those without the law judge without the law. The Bible says so. Just slapped her mouth. Says, shut up. Who are you to talk to us? Isn't that a great answer? Well, you know, that's how we treat our kids. So what do you expect from that bunch of hoodlums if you're one of her kids? Now, when he'd done all this and proved himself and he was what he was, and put it down to them and said, if I'm not he, then who are you? Oh, man, that's a scorcher right there. He said, hey, if I'm not who I say I am, tell me who you are. Oh, they could prove who they were. They're a bunch of us. I don't. Why should I talk about it? You know the whole story. Jesus said, if you condemn me of sin, if I'm anywhere wrong in the word, you show me. Now let me show you where you're wrong. See? They couldn't show him. He could show them. They walked up. Now here's a good dollar bill sitting there. And you come along with a bogus dollar bill. And I show you that your bogus dollar bill is not a real dollar bill, so therefore your dollar bill cannot buy anything at the market, and they'll grab you. But you can have my dollar bill and go to the market and buy. And the guy grabs his dollar bill and runs. Hey, that's a cute illustration, isn't it? Peels to our little greedy hearts, doesn't it? Makes us see the light in a hurry, doesn't it? Yeah. Counterfeit money looks good. Looks awful close to the real, but it's no good. Get you put in jail. They come running around and say, where'd you get that counterfeit money? I don't know. It's in the till here. They'll grill you and they'll grill you and make you think that you actually did something, had something to do with them. Did you go to church? No problem. You can have a Lutheran female preacher who brings in a naked dancer and says, this is impressionistic. This is what the church needs. I think their church did need it all right. That's honest to God truth. I'm not lying. It was in all the papers. And you wonder why your kids are gone to hell. You can't. I feel sorry for you people. You might think I don't, but I do. I look at life and you're my biggest concern. Because it's not going to get any better. Except you walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship one another, brother Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing. Now to rid him out of their sight, they hated him so bad because he tore up their organization. To rid him out of their sight, they buried him and rolled a great big denominational stone over the door. So he be sure not to rise again. Is this a warning that our doors are going to be closed? So this message can't go out? Is this what's going to precipitate Revelation chapter 13? That if you don't agree to deal with the bogus dollar bills, to call righteousness sin and sin righteousness, think about it. Oh my, think of that perfect tree. David looked back and saw it. He said, standing by the rivers of water, he bringeth forth his leaves in his season, his fruit, it shall not be cast, it won't wither. Whatsoever he do shall prosper. That's for this hour, brother, sister. He was the son of prosperity. Joseph was the type of Jesus. He was the anti-type of Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, he prospered. Same thing with Jesus. His words, my word will prosper, won't return to me void. It'll accomplish what I purpose for it. See, he was the word. And the word was sent to the earth by God, and it will accomplish exactly what God sent it for. Now listen close now. This gets rich with the cream on top. In other words, prosperity really means one thing. The word has got to come to pass. The coin of the realm never fails. Now notice, here he comes now. And they for the very works and for the very works of God, when he stood and asked him, he said, if I don't do the works that God said I should do, then I'm not he. Don't believe me, but if I do it, then you believe the works. If you can't believe me, being a man doing this, then believe the works I do. They testify me. They speak louder than my voice could speak. Now, Brother Branham is belaboring the peering again and proving who came down and who is here as the head in Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, bringing to pass John 14 and 12. Also bringing to pass Acts 13. verse 48. A complete picture of what took place back in the days of 41. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe. Because a man declares it to you. Says, though a man declare it. And that word means to thoroughly explain and absolutely prove. You aren't going to believe it because a man did it. Now, if you'd have met God face to face in the pillar of fire, you know what happened to you? You'd have died and gone straight to hell. So much for your wishful thinking that you can meet God and you can get the answer in God. Laura thought she could. She's gone too. If you think I'm mean, I am mean. You hear from God. Prove it to me. You hear a voice that says, I don't care, Brother Branham said. Thanks to be Brother Branham. Hey, that's par for the course. If it was any different, I'd think something was wrong with us all, not just me. We're coming to the hour, brother, sister, back again to Ephesus, the perfect Ephesian church, because that's what restoration is all about. And let me tell you something flat. You don't go to the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, especially 1st Corinthians, to get a perfect church. They never had church order. They had wrong kinds of gifts, everything else. In the Ephesian church, everything was in order and in fellowship with God, being sanctified by the Word of God, the Word of truth. Drawn into harmonious perfection by that bridal gown. Yeah? Remember what the prophet said. He said the Ephesian church was in order. Spiritual and heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham commended Tommy Osborne. And Osborne himself said, Brother Bill, I don't know the first thing about gifts. He just laughed. He said, all I know is the Word of God works. And Brother Osborne said, Brother Branham said, Tommy Osborne was the closest of any man by that utterance right there. I want gifts. I like gifts too. They're fine. They're not going to get me anywhere. You do what you want about it. I like what Brother Branham said. If you don't have the real thing, just hold it right there. I'm not against them. I just don't want any but the real thing. That's right. The same thing would apply. And that's what he says here. Now listen again. Notice here he comes with the very works of God. When he stood, he asked me, he said, if I don't do the works that God said I should do, then I'm not he. Don't believe me. But if I do it, then you believe the works. They got to believe that. My God, they should believe that. If you can't believe me being a man doing this, then believe the works I do because they testify there's got to be something behind it. They speak louder than my voice could speak. Brother, that's right. And the same thing would apply any time. 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, or 100,000 years from now. And it applies right today, and we saw it. Well, then people say we don't shout here and we don't praise the Lord. Well, I guess it's just a matter of what's moving and where it's moving. Now notice, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Believe me not. Then if I do the works, believe me. Then what did they do? They took that precious tree, cut it down, hanged it on a man-made tree. That's right. Cut the life out of it and hanged it on a man-made tree for mockery. Then they didn't like it. That's because they didn't like it. Too many people were... Oh, yeah, I see. Then they didn't like it. Too many people were standing there crying about it. So then they took him off and took him down. They said, we'll make our denomination so tight, those holy rollers will never get back in. See, now here's your headship. Back in this hour, according to 1 Corinthians, headship is here in the form of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And they said, we'll make our denomination so tight, they'll never get those holy rollers in there. In other words, this message, as I said, could precipitate all us and the independent people and their independents who won't listen to the Antichrist into their squeeze, which we know has got to come upon the world. In fact, let's face it, it's going to take this message to do it. Why in the world would there be a squeeze outside of this message? What do you and I do? Nothing. Let's face it. All we're really doing is eating the cake with the whipped cream and the cherry on top. That's all. Come and dine, the master called it. Come and dine. Right. Yep. You can have that prophetic menu anytime, especially if a prophet gave it, but not without the prophet. So I won't come and dine. I don't like that prophet anytime. Well, hallelujah, I'll take your part. I'll never lose my heart. I'm going to sit at his table coming down. Oh, yeah. Why shouldn't I? Yeah, so here's what they did. They scooped him back in the hole of Joseph Arimathea, that old cave, and they rolled a big stone, took a sentry, he means a centurion, 100 men, 100 men to roll it there. Did you ever see the other night in the picture of the big path they rolled the stone upon? Waste tons, rolled their big organizational stones up there so he could not rise up. But that did not hold him. No, but I'll restore, saith the Lord. Let's hit that next now and drive it. I'll restore, saith the Lord. I'll restore him. 3 days God brought that tree up. I'll raise him up and bring him back. So now Brother Branham is talking about restoration at that particular time, the restoration of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see also that same life at the end time brought right back. And that's what Brother Branham is dealing with, that tree coming back because of that one who has the light. Because that's the whole secret, that light. They couldn't hide him in that rock. They couldn't hide him out of their sight. They couldn't get him off their hands. I'll restore, saith the Lord. And in 3 days he rose up, restored back. I'm going to tell you, they can laugh all they want about William Branham, the seven seals and everything he said, but I'm going to tell you, that never happened just because. We never had a vindicated prophet and scientific proof just because. Because of it, just because there's nothing to religion anywhere. Why? Just because. Do you hear what I'm saying? They couldn't prove one thing back in Jesus' day when he proved it, they still killed him. America died in 1956 and took the world with her, don't worry. After Easter, when he was risen, he said, go into all the world, and I'm going with you. As the living Father sent me, and he's in me, so I send you, and we'll be in you, and I'm with you to the end of the world. To the end of the world? Why do you even bother saying that? The works, the same things I did to prove who I was, you'll do the same things to prove who you are. Come on. 9 gifts of Spirit, 9 fruits, that doesn't tell anything. He's talking about that restored life coming back. Because after the resurrection, he said this. And he pointed all the way to the end. And we are at the end because Israel's back in the homeland. And when they get back in the homeland, blinded Israel, who was not dead, it says life. And you don't give life to a blind man, you give sight to a blind man. Israel wasn't dead, was blind. So when you talk about life in that 14th chapter, or maybe it's 11th chapter. I haven't got time to read it many times to you. We're talking about resurrection. I like that. These signs shall follow them that are believers. Well, just a little minute right there. What is an are believer? The one that believes all the word. Well, just suppose you didn't have all the word to believe. And just suppose all the word that you had, and though you did your best, you were wrong. Well, you say, I'm a believer in the sense that I want to believe. Well, that's what a guy said in the Bible, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's where you and I are. We're not raw believers. We're potential. We're hopeful. But when he's talking about our believers, we're talking about that Spirit in Christ that pinned every word down. Said, I'll stand for that. Properly divided. Not make believers, but believers. See, these things that I do, you'll do. And I'll vindicate that you're a believer. Hey, just a minute. That's not Matthew 7 and the gifts of the Spirit. No way, shape, and form. False anointed don't qualify here. These things I do, you'll do. Jesus makes that personal. That's John 14 and 12. Sure. I'll vindicate you're a believer. Vindicate? Vindication? That's not a couple of gifts. Actually, vindication goes way beyond gifts. Vindication goes to discernment, which never failed. 5,000 people or 5 million standing there wouldn't make a difference. You could read every heart as God wanted every heart read. You couldn't hide if you tried. I wish you know what I mean by that. You do to a degree, but you can't know what I know because you weren't there. But I'm glad that you believe it. He said, I'll vindicate your believer, just the same as the works that I have done, because the living Father lives in me. Come on, that's only a prophet. He's not talking about the Spirit of God living in somebody. He's talking about God. God was in the prophets. Brother Brandt said, pillar of fire is standing up inside of me. Oh, shock. My God. Horrors. Horrors. That's not any more horrible than me, a skunk like me, claiming I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and had a part of him from the beginning. William Branham had more right to say that than Lee Vail and all of you people here, whoever hear my voice on a tape, have a right to say. Because not one of us is vindicated. Even the false anointed could do better in every single department, you and me, except believe the Word of God. He said, it isn't I that do the works, it's my Father. And it won't be you doing the works, but it'll be I in you doing those works. See? Now you go into all the world. This sums it all up. You are going to form what's known to me as bride. See? All right. The bride has always believed that word. And at the end time, there's a special when the bride comes back to what she was in the beginning. He said, I'll go with you and you'll be a part of me. You'll be my bride. My life will be in your body. Just like a husband and wife are one person, you are going to be one. At that day, you'll know that I am the Father, Father and me, and I and you and me. I just love that. Satan gets so angry at that, see? See the oneness of God. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured in the church. There you are. It makes them all one. How much time we got? We'll stop. I'm going to go into that with you. I want to take a little time with that, perhaps. I'll try to get my notes in order so we can, carry on where we leave off tonight for next Sunday morning. But anyway, I preach tough, I hang tough. And if I wasn't as tough as I am, I'd be dead because I'm 79, going on 80. And in spite of the aches and pains and everything else, hey, what's though compared to the living Word of God that we saw in this hour? Even as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And as Paul said, neither height nor depth, persecution, famine, distress, peril, nakedness, life, no death, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which has been manifested and proven in this hour. It's absolutely marvelous to think that we are partakers of a grace that was there all the time and we did not know it. Until somebody came ordained of God, and God himself set us free from our unbelief, our doubts, our errors, our lies, all of these things, and put us on the path of righteousness, walking in the light with the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. What more could anybody want? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your kind mercy and love which has been extended to us, the time of fellowship we have, Lord, in a service together where we are free to preach the word, knowing that one day, as the prophet said, these buildings will be closed. And we're seeing buildings close to the truth without them being closed. People turning aside from the actual fact of the matter, the truth, Lord, of what this man brought us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have opened our eyes to it. And though we know that it wasn't easy, Lord, on your part, I know it took your full right arm, as it were, to open our eyes to just move right down here in the grace and glory of your own majesty and deal with us who are absolutely in darkness concerning what real truth is. But now, Lord, we believe with the Ephesian church we are made light and walk in that light, Father, by the grace of God. As Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. May our walk be one of obedience, of strictness according to the word, whatever the word says, to listen to and obey and bring every thought in its obedience to the headship, which is Christ the word, now manifest in the last hour. And we walk with him, led by the still waters. And the still waters bring forth that tree of which we believe we are a part in this last hour, the fruit of Almighty God, standing here in the last day. And one day, Lord, stand with you all the way. We thank you, thou, for your presence, your kindness, your goodness, night, Lord. May the same grace and goodness take us on our homeward way, free from harm and danger. And heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Heavenly Father. As the prophet said, take this message of healing, Lord, when we hear what the prophet said in these words tonight,
Surely, O God, as our souls are healed, let our bodies also rise to the occasion, even as John said. He wished above all else we could prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. And Lord, there never was a time outside that first age when there was such prosperity. Even the first age, Lord, has not seen what we see, because as Brother Branham said, the cherubim that kept them away from the tree of life is now crowding them to it. Lord, we're glad that you're crowding us to it. I think the prophet put it beautifully and perfectly. And I like to think it that way, because I believe that that is 100% the truth. Crowd us evermore to the tree of life, and feed us evermore the convenient food of God. And unto thee we give the glory, and love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of